It's amazing to me that one of the greatest life, in fact, the greatest life ever lived, that of Jesus of Nazareth, has come under attack for being non-historical.
Dr. Paul Meyer talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
If we use all the rules of historical research, we find that Jesus passes all those tests perfectly, and that indeed there is easy documentation that I can give to every Christian to prove that, yes, there was a historical Jesus of Nazareth beyond all debate.
You can meet and hear Dr. Paul Meyer making the case for the historical Jesus Friday, June 19th and Saturday, June 20th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. Collinsville is located 15 miles east of St. Louis. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. Attendance is limited to 400. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. The hymn "Sing Praise to God, the Highest Good," sung by the Children's Choirs of St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana. That hymn verse talks about God being the author of creation, that is, the creator. Everything that is came to being by his word. It's just the basic teaching of Holy Scripture, a teaching, by the way, that is much under attack. I listen to several science podcasts, and it's amazing how often they pull out the old whipping boy. Creationism, and they wail a little bit, and they moan and groan a little bit, and then they put it away, soundly defeated, until the next time they feel like bringing it out. They're a little paranoid about creationism. Maybe it is because the same author of creation has written into our hearts that he really is there, and that denying him is, well, if you're going to do it, you got to do it on a regular basis and keep it up, because that knowledge isn't going away. So, where do we find it? In Genesis chapters 1 and 2. How do we respond to someone, a Christian, who says, look, that's an important teaching, but it's not so important that we need to get up in arms about it. After all, it's not directly related to the gospel of Jesus Christ, is it? Joining us this week to teach a Sunday school lesson on God's creation of the world, Pastor Tom Baker. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Yeah, thank you, Todd.
How would you respond to somebody who says that? A Christian, you know, they're well-meaning. They just don't want to have that argument, or maybe they feel like the scientists have all the facts on their side, and they say, look, I'm just not going to, as one retired pastor once told me, he said, I just don't teach creation anymore because my people don't believe it, and we've lost the argument. And besides, it's not related in any way directly to the gospel of Jesus Christ. How would you respond?
I actually had a professor who spoke that way about the resurrection. He didn't believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. He believed only that he rose spiritually, and his argument was the same. You know, what difference does it make as long as Jesus rose, whether he rose physically or not? And he blamed me of being a bibliolater because I believed that Jesus had risen from the dead, so he thought my faith would be gone if the bones of Jesus would ever be discovered. But for him, he wouldn't lose his faith, he said, because he doesn't believe that Jesus rose from the dead bodily. The problem of what we're having here, both with the resurrection and the creation, is a negation of the creation also negates other parts of the Bible. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is the great resurrection chapter. Many pastors say this at the cemetery. Part of it says this: it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Now listen to verse 47 as it explains further. The first man was of the earth, made of dust, not evolved through other animals. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And the word Lord there is really used to refer to the name of God himself. In other words, the second man is Jesus. And time and time again, this is found throughout the New Testament, that Jesus reverses the fall of the first Adam as he comes as the second Adam to bring us redemption. So if you deny that there was a first Adam, really made the way Genesis 1 says, from the dust of the ground, not from a monkey, then you're going to have trouble somebody that Jesus was the second Adam. In fact, he was God. In fact, he rose from the dead bodily.
So it does relate directly, not yes. even indirectly, but directly to the truth and the promises of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. When God speaks his word and he says something happened, that is kind of like a promise. I promise you this happened. And because this happened, the Holy Trinity stepped in to fix it. So Genesis 1 is what actually happened. I don't believe that Genesis 1 is a scientific account of the creation of the world, because it doesn't tell, except he used dust of the earth, how he created Adam, and not that much about Eve, there's a rib. But the scientific way in which he did it, that's not found. But the historical is. So I always say this, I will take any view or theory of how the world came into being as long as it fits in six 24-hour days.
Okay, what do we find there in Genesis chapters 1 and 2?
What we find in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 is a history of what God did. And this is the theme, which is well stated in the Growing in Christ series. In fact, the next 13 lessons, Todd, is discovering our triune God. And I didn't even realize this till I got out of the seminary in reading other material, but the first three verses have the Trinity. God the Father in the first verse, creating the heavens and earth. Then the Spirit of God hovering over the face of the waters. That's the Holy Spirit. Where's Jesus? Verse 3. And God said, in other words, he said a word, let there be light, and there was light. Just like he said to Lazarus, Lazarus, arise, and it happened. So we know from John chapter 1 that in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and nothing was created that was not created by the Word of God. So we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit working together in the creation of the world. And so you've got the Trinity in the first three verses of the Bible, and that's significant for Genesis 1.
It's not only the creation of the world, but as you've mentioned here, the manner of that creation at its inception is the Word of God, is as you said, the Word being the second person of the Trinity, but not separated from the Word of God as we have it spoken by God. Already there we have kind of a doctrine of Scripture, don't we?
Oh, absolutely. And each time, if you notice, God said, let there be light. And then God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters. And then God called the expanse heaven. And then God said, let the waters under the heavens. In other words, all of this is introduced with God saying something. And this is really quite interesting. In a lot of religions, the personal God is a part of creation, like Zeus and others. But in Christianity, God is totally separate from creation. He stands outside of the creative order until the second person becomes incarnate for our sins.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest on this Monday, June the 1st. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson with him today, God's creation of the world in Genesis chapters 1 and 2. When we come back, we'll continue that lesson with him. Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. You'll find a link to Law and Gospel at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. We'll be right back.
Jesus Christ our Lord. Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Why do you think the way you do? And what about your friends, your neighbors, your church? Is it because of what the scriptures say, or is it because they only think what the world has told them to think?
Pastor Jonathan Fisk talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
Making the case for the church's response to postmodernism will be a crash course in the who's who of the postmodern pagan mindset, with a hard-hitting look at both the assumptions of the American pop culture world and the rarely mentioned but catastrophic effects that may not yet affect you, but will certainly affect your children.
You can meet and hear Pastor Jonathan Fisk making the case for the church's response to postmodernism June 19th and 20th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. Don't wait to register. Attendance is limited to 400. The Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
Christological. Creedal. Confessional. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Hi, this is Pastor Clayton from Zion Lutheran Church of Muscoda, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Zion is a congregation firmly grounded in God's grace given in the Word and Sacraments, where we treasure the timeless beauty of the liturgy. Zion is also a vibrant, young, family-friendly congregation where you would be warmly welcomed. Zion is located at 101 South Railway Street in Muscoda, Illinois, and we would love to share God's gifts of grace with you. For more information, please visit our website at zionmuscoda.com.
There is confusion about marriage in the world, but not with Jesus and his scriptures. Gottesdienst, the Journal of Lutheran Liturgy, will be having a conference on Tuesday, June 30th at St. Paul Lutheran Church, Hamel, Illinois, on marriages and weddings. Come and hear the theology of marriage and the theology of the wedding and be strengthened in confessing. Helpful sectionals for pastors and laity in the finest of the church's worship. For more information, go to gottesdienstonline.blogspot.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. A special thanks to Pastor Wiley Smith and the Congregation of Christ the King Lutheran in the Redlands, California, for recently becoming a congregational sponsor of the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. They joined the Issues Etc. 300, a growing group of congregations that support this worldwide outreach in their mission or advertising budget every year to the tune of $1,000 or more. Now, that decision, that budget decision, is probably coming up for your congregation. Many congregations begin their fiscal year on the 1st of July, and that means that your congregation right now is making up its mind. They are putting things in the budget. They're taking things out of the budget. We're asking you to ask your congregation to put Issues Etc. in the budget this year for next year and become part of the Issues Etc. 300. You can find out more at our website, issuesetc.org. Click promote, and you will find there on the promotion page a one-page flyer that you can download and take to your congregation. It will help you ask them to join the Issues Etc. 300. IssuesETC.org. Click promote. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on God creating the world in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. You said something before the break, Tom, that I think we need to continue just one more step, and that is, all through that account of creation, we have those repeated things. God said, God said, God said, God called. All of those things that he's doing by speaking. Is it any coincidence that when the devil comes to tempt Adam and Eve, his question has to do with what God said?
Absolutely. If you can contradict God, if you can start thinking of God in commonsensical terms instead of the unique radical way in which it is said in the Bible. Last week, even though it was Trinity Sunday, one of the hymns chosen was on the Holy Spirit. And there were five verses, and what I pointed out is that in every verse, the person doing our salvation was always the Holy Spirit. Nowhere in the entire hymn did man cooperate in his salvation. Nowhere did he contribute to his salvation. And so if you're looking for a real good theological point here, the creation, all the verbs have as their actor God in declaring. The first time man becomes an actor is when he sins. But up to that point, God is the one who does everything, including blessing them.
When he creates man and woman, he creates them sinless in the image of God. Those two things seem to go together. How is it described there, and what should we learn of what was forfeited by our first parents in the fall? What did they have there in paradise in creation before the fall?
We know that the image could not mean what God looked like because God the Father is a spirit. He's invisible. But the image refers to a characteristic of God that was being righteous and just in God's sight, as he does with Christians, forgiveness of sins, they're actually holy works of the Holy Spirit. Did not have a free active will to do their own works. It was because they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit therefore brought them into this right relationship with God, and they were always doing righteous works. When they fell into sin, what primarily happened is they turned their back on God, and they became the center of sin, which is the letter I, and that was due to their pride, which is at the center of the letter I. And so we know that they were really against God. It was kind of important when Adam blames someone, he doesn't blame Eve, the woman you gave to me. He's blaming God. And when Eve blames, she blames the serpent that God permitted to come into the garden. So this is not proper repentance because they are not taking the full weight of the sin upon themselves, but trying to deflect it. And that shows how gracious God is in forgiving people who are trying to deflect their sin, which includes me and you and everyone listening.
So we can't really, I mean, we're trying to communicate this to the kids in the Sunday school room, and we kind of need to be honest and say, we can't fully describe, we're not able to because of our sin, to describe what Adam and Eve had with God before the fall into sin. But we can point them forward, Tom, can't we, to how that is restored in full and more in the second Adam in Jesus Christ.
That's correct. And by looking at what we did last week with Revelation 21 and 22, we find that we're going to a place where there is no longer any need for weeping or sickness or death, but we will be in bliss. And that bliss is part of the blessing that the sheep received in Matthew chapter 25. Why? Because they had the evidence of the fruit of the Holy Spirit that Jesus pointed out.
When they are given dominion over all of creation, another thing that they forfeit in the fall, how would you describe that?
Well, what happens here is creation now also falls apart. For example, they're now weeds. Women in childbirth have pain. These are the consequences of religion falling apart. That's why every man-made religion cannot be true, because it's also always found in our experience, and our experience is messed up since the fall of man into sin. It's one of the main reasons I just ignore astrology, because astrology assumes that things are in a proper order, a proper place in the universe, and nothing is anymore. We now have comets. We now have, hurricanes. I heard today 11 of them may be coming to the United States this summer. None of that occurred in the Garden of Eden. So to try and control the weather or creation makes Mother Nature the new God rather than the divine creator.
So how would you describe that image of God that Adam and Eve have before the fall to Sunday school children?
I would describe it in a way in which pretend that you never disobeyed your parents. First of all, you would ask them, have you ever disobeyed? And then hopefully all the hands will go up because they have. And that would be a practical way in getting across to the Sunday school child that they don't have that purity, but God declares them to be righteous because he takes care of the two problems that keep them from going to heaven. Number one are sins of commission, which he paid for on the cross. And number two are sins of omission, which means we don't do the good works we should do, which he takes care of us by dressing us through the waters of baptism in the robe of Jesus Christ.
Is God already planning in a way that, in a mysterious way, knowing that man would fall into sin, yet not causing this, is he already planning at and before creation to redeem Adam and Eve and their children, to restore the paradise in Christ?
If there was not a Bible verse to answer yes to that, I could not. But in Ephesians chapter 1, it says, blessed be God the Father, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the what? Holy and without blame for him in love, having predestined us to adoptions as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. So before the world was even a twinkle in the eye of God, so to speak, God had already prepared salvation for every believer.
Then with 30 seconds, what's the bottom line for the Sunday school kids?
I would say that the emphasis for all 13 lessons is the Trinity. And in the Hebrew, the word for God is in the plural, like in verse 15. The Lord God took the man. But the verbs are in the singular. And what better way to understand three in one? The same God, the Holy Trinity, now in light of our baptism, has his promises for us and never leaves us, never forsakes us, and continues to bless us.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Next week, Tom will lead us in a Sunday school lesson on God creating the angels. Tom, thank you very much.
And thank you, Todd.
Growing in Christ is the Sunday school curriculum that Tom talks about here because we base our conversations on it. It has kind of opened a new chapter where it usually goes through these accounts step by step as narrative. It's doing it more in kind of, let's call it a doctrinal way or a systematic way, dealing with the doctrines that are brought forward. And doctrine, by the way, is a good thing, especially when God's teaching doctrine. Growing in Christ is Christ-centered, cross-focused Sunday school curriculum. You'll find a link at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Or call Concordia Publishing House. They'd be happy to send you a free sample of Growing in Christ. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Ask about Growing in Christ. When we come back, Pastor Paul McCain's going to be our guest. We're going to continue our not seven-part series. It's going to go up to 10 parts, I believe, with Pastor Paul McCain on the Ten Commandments from Luther's Large Catechism. Today, the commandment, you shall not steal. Now, if you read Luther on that commandment of the Large Catechism, you will come away very discouraged. There's a lot of law. There's a lot of ranting and raving, like Luther sometimes does. Not a lot of gospel, but it's not without the gospel. We will find out what the 16th century Martin Luther had to say about this commandment, you shall not steal, and he certainly had a lot to say, with Pastor Paul McCain of Concordia Publishing House in Hour 2 in 5 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Messiah Lutheran, Seattle, Washington, Grace Lutheran, McPherson, Kansas, St. Paul's Lutheran, Bridgeport, Nebraska, Our Savior Lutheran, Raleigh, North Carolina, St. Paul Lutheran, Hancock, Maryland, Messiah Lutheran, Keller, Texas, St. John's Lutheran, Maple Grove, Minnesota, Grace Lutheran, Parker, Colorado, and Our Redeemer Lutheran, Harrington, Kansas. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.